welcome back to Route 25 Podcast, brought to you by Fox Valley Magazine and When and How Communications. Today, we're talking with Kiefer Sutherland. No, we're not talking about his acting career, which has been extraordinary. Golden Globes, Emmys. He's actually embarked on a musical career, having recorded two albums already. And his most recent album, Bloor Street, just came out. It's about his upbringing in Toronto. It's very interesting stuff. Kiefer will be playing at the Arcata in St. Charles on Sunday, March 20th. So you may want to check that out. Anyway, here's Kiefer.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the time. How are you?
No, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it, man. And I know we have a short amount of time here, but again, I really appreciate it. It's an honor to speak to you. It really is.
Well, thank you. Thanks, man. You too.
Okay. So this is about your music, but I've got to clear up two things.
Okay.
In researching this, or, you know, prepping for this conversation, I found out that your full name is Kiefer William Frederick Dempsey George Rufus Sutherland. Is that right? And if so, what's that about?
it is correct. I'm not completely sure. William was my given middle name. Kiefer William Frederick was my father's father. Dempsey was my mother's mother's maiden name. George was my dad's best friend. We've never figured out where we got Rufus. And so, you know, my joke has always been that, you know, my parents didn't have a lot of money back then, and that he probably told people that if you feed us tonight, I'll name my kid after you.
It works for me. That works for me.
Yeah.
Now, it's a British thing. I'm pretty sure my mother-in-law was the child of two British people from Manchester. So, and they had the same thing. They had this strange naming nomenclature. So I dig it. Anyway,
okay.
At least that clears that up. Okay. The other thing is, real quick, with your acting career, I just wanted to say something to you. You don't even need to respond, but you know, you look it up and you've got an extraordinary career. I mean, Emmys, Golden Globes, SAGs. I mean, everything you could want. But everybody misses the best part of your career, as far as I'm concerned, and that was in A Few Good Men. Everybody talks about the "you can't handle the truth" nonsense. You know, from you know what, but there was a moment where Kindrich is on the stand, and Tom Cruise says, "Did you order a code red?" And the sun is shining through the window, and you have this momentary distraction where you look out the window, controlling your rage, and then said, "You know, I did not." Right? That momentary look out the window is still the most exquisite thing I've seen. It's just wonderful.
Oh, that's so generous, man. Thank you very much.
No, it was brilliant.
Well, thank you. So I'll tell you a story about that film. We were, Jack Nicholson was about to do the "you can't handle the truth" scene, and they had blocked it out for the whole day. And it's the only time I've ever seen actors who had the day off, myself included, come in to watch. Mm. And Jack Nicholson did the speech, did the whole thing once, and the place was fucking silent. I mean, dead quiet.
Yeah.
And Rob Reiner went up to him and said, "Do you mind doing it again?" And Jack Nicholson smiled and said, "That's why we're here." And he did it one more time, and Rob Reiner looked confused. And he went, "Well, I don't know what to do. It's not going to get better than that. So I guess we're wrapped." And so in under an hour, Jack Nicholson did that scene, and that was the end of that. And it was the only time I've seen actors come in when they had a day off.
That's wild. Yeah. Well, no, look, I don't mean
applause when someone finished.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mean to demean what, no, that was a great scene, obviously.
Oh no, I know. But it was such a generous thing you said, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No, I people miss that. And to me, that was just extraordinary. It really was. Anyway. Okay. So let's get to the point. You know, congratulations on your music career. You've already had this enormous career, you know, in acting and you're in music. And the thing I keep in listening to your music, the first word that comes to me is evocative. You know, in sort of all the way through. I know. I guess the first one that really struck me was Reckless in Me, the song about your mother, Saskatchewan. Yeah. It's extraordinarily evocative, obviously a deeply personal thing. And that sort of follows through all your stuff. You look at it and you say, okay, here's a guy who was born in London and grew up in Toronto. Where does he get his country roots? Do you think that was, is Saskatchewan sort of really where you got your roots?
No, it wasn't. During the 90s, I rodeoed professionally. I had done films like Young Guns, which got me really acquainted with horses. And I had a small horse farm, which ended up being a cattle farm in Montana. And I just had a natural affinity with a rope. And I learned how to rope to handle the livestock on my farm. And then ended up going, just touring and doing it with a guy named John English. And so I would get in a truck with a bunch of cowboys. We'd throw our horses and trailers and we'd just go from town to town, kind of on, going as far east as kind of Oklahoma and then kind of everything west all the way up through the Dakotas, all the way south to California. Rodeo that kind of part of the country.
Yeah.
And all these cowboys listened to Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings. And so I got that was my initial exposure to kind of country and Americana music. What I loved about it was that it told stories in the first person narrative. So as much as I couldn't really tell you what Black Dog from Led Zeppelin 4 meant, except that I'm sure someone wanted to get screwed, but I couldn't tell you what that meant. When I listened to Johnny Cash sing A Boy Named Sue, I know exactly what he's singing about. And that story has a beginning, middle, and an end. And so that's what I love about acting, is getting together with a group of actors and a director and a cinematographer and figuring out how to tell a story and how we're going to do it visually, how we're going to do it intellectually, emotionally, all of those different things. And so when I started writing songs, it was just a natural fit because the songs that I started to initially write were always going to be songs from my own experience. They're going to be, either a memory or an observation. And so it was a natural fit for that format. There's rock and roll aspects to every record, but certainly the first two records were really kind of, there's some old school country stuff like Not Enough Whiskey, Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Right.
Songs like that. And again, the first person narrative was key for me. And it's one of the reasons why I really love, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings, Chris Christopherson, Willie Nelson. The imagery that those guys kind of paint with words and really simple melodies. So you can, so you really grab onto the lyrical content. That mattered to me. And so it was kind of a really natural thing for me to go in that direction.
Let's talk about Bloor Street real quick. So that, again, it's very evocative. I've got a dear friend who lives in Toronto and I've talked to her about this and all the memories came flooding back from all the things that you sang about. But I did notice something interesting in that you're, we talked about influences, there's some rock in your previous stuff, but there seemed to be, country rock and some R&B sort of influences too. I mean, there seems to be an expansion of kind of what you're doing musically. Am I completely off base on that or no?
No, you're not. And it's, and you know what, there's it, sonically, you're going to get a lot of 80s, that sounds like an 80s record to me. And some people might rub them the wrong way, but it's exactly what I intended to do. Because I love the sound of a lot of records, that came out of that time period. And then we had just come off of a tour of Europe, from Czech Republic all the way to the UK. We played like 40 or 50 dates. So it was a really long tour. And the second we came off of that tour, COVID hit and everything locked down.
Right.
And we'd been basically self-isolating on a bus anyway. So we agreed that we were going to kind of not see anybody else. We were going to kind of try and be really responsible, and we would make this record. And so the record was made, even though Chris Lord-Alge produced it, the songs were kind of worked up kind of the way the band wanted to play them, right? The way we wanted to do them.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't as thematic as the first two albums. It was much freer. And we made it as a band together, which was also very different than the records that I made with Jude Cole. So it just, you know, it became a much more Americana record than a country record because, you know, we just played how we felt that day. You know, Two-Stepping in Time, you know, the version that I play on stage now is much more kind of like a waltz and the way I wrote it than kind of the rockier version that's out on the radio. You know, which I love the rockier version. You know, I'm just doing an acoustic show right now. So,
right.
So yeah, it's again, it was just it was kind of a much freer record in the sense that we just played how we wanted to play that day, as opposed to kind of trying to do something that had, you know, was trying to really say something like Down in a Hole, was a real country record. I mean, there's some real country tunes on that record, and we were trying to kind of honor what we believe is kind of old school American country music. And whereas on Bloor Street, we're just trying to enjoy the song.
Yeah.
And wherever it fit is wherever it fit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So you're doing the acoustic thing. You're coming here to St. Charles with Mark and Rocco, right? So it's going to be more of an acoustic thing.
Yeah, very much so. And this has been a really interesting tour for me because this is the first time I've done this, certainly in the United States. But it allows me a kind of freedom to kind of get into why I wrote the song, what I was going through.
Sure.
That's a nice thing to be able to do. You know, you don't get to, you know, certainly in the making of films or even theater, there's not a moment where you get to kind of have a conversation with the audience. Right. So that's what I've really enjoyed about this tour, and the acoustic kind of set really allows us to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, I know you got to go. Break a leg, dude.
Okay.
See you.
Bless your heart, man. Thank you. Okay. Bye.